Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And, you know, I'm kicking off this hour with two of my favorite folks. This is like a dive buddy dream. Jerry the Diver Guy and Eric Douglas. How are you guys? And welcome.
I'm doing peachy. Thank you.
Yeah. So, well, everything's going on, Jerry. And I'm doing good, Eric. It's good to hear you both. I probably should have introed you one at a time.
Jerry and our buddies, that's fine.
Yeah, we got
both Virginias covered, buddy.
Okay, absolutely. That's true. That's right.
East Virginia and West Virginia.
Well, last hour I was covering the East Coast and West Coast of Florida. Now we're going up to Virginia and covering that accordingly. We got Jerry in the mountains and Eric down there on the coast, kind of. Or close enough, I guess, right?
Actually, you're backwards, but...
Right. Oh, okay. Well, wouldn't be the first time, would it?
He's never got it straight here.
Well, the problem is he just needs to come up and visit us.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That is true. I knew... But I got too much travel on my on the plan already. You hear what I'm saying? I got to go to the Maldives. And then I got to go...
There are no liveaboard dive boats in the Virginias.
There's not? No. Maybe Jerry, you sure there isn't? I have a feeling
we can make one.
Yeah, he'd do something like a Tom Sawyer raft or something. Yeah, that's the first liveaboard.
We can float down the mighty new river.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm hip. See? Might have come up with something.
I got the fun end of the new river up here, Jerry. We got the whitewater raft.
I got
up here.
The delicate end.
You got the liveaboard end, right? So Jerry, you could actually do that. Set up a raft and call it a liveaboard. Virginia's first liveaboard dive vessel. Why not? I think it would fit right in with what you do, on the surface interval stuff. Like, right over here, that's where we made the 1973 best moonshine, spring water ever. Yeah, it could be a whole tour thing. I'm just saying.
And then get shot at.
Yeah, well, okay.
Get shot at.
Yeah, hey, that'd be an adventure for sure. All right, well, let's get back on track. Let's talk about some diving-related stuff. Before we get into some other places that we're going to go dive together. And that would be with Eric, because Eric is, he's an author. He not only does he dive and he writes about it in magazines and all kinds of stuff, he has these novels that he's written. And booksbyeric.com is a website to go check out and get the full list of everything. We're going to share some specials that he has going on this weekend and this coming week as well. But you got a new one. We got a premiere or talk about or announce today to the world. Eric, are you ready?
Absolutely. And just so you know, Scuba Radio listeners hear it first.
There you go. Absolutely. And he really writes great stuff. I mean, not to mention
the best.
That Lionfish book. Oh, my gosh. It was genius.
Needs a backup to that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this
part
one.
Part two.
Is this a continuation of the Winthrow Key series, or is this a totally different thing you're putting out?
No, this is actually a continuation of the Mike Scott series.
Oh, okay.
This is a novella. It's about the third the length of a full novel.
Yeah.
So it would be a great beach read or surface interval read. A couple good hours. Maybe if you're flying somewhere and you need to kill a few hours on a plane before you get to your dive destination, this would be a great one.
I plan to read it on my 11 and a half hour flight from L.A. to Tokyo on my way to the Maldives. So I think I'll be able to fit it in. Probably a couple times.
Something tells me you'll have time to read it.
Yeah. And but this one picks up. Does it pick up where the last Mike Scott novel left off, which was in Cayman?
If you remember right at the end of the last Mike Scott novel, and hopefully I'm not giving away spoilers, but Mike got shot. by the bad guy and that whole thing.
Yeah.
So this is long enough after that that he's had a chance to heal and go diving again.
Right.
This time he's actually in Curacao.
Ooh, okay.
Another one of my favorite islands in the Caribbean. And I can't, you know, obviously without giving too much away, but there's a lot of action happens in a very short period of time on the island of Curacao.
Well, that's a cool little island. I would assume you've been there several times yourself doing research, as we say, right?
I have been there a couple times and had a blast every time I was down there.
Yeah. So has it been on your list to incorporate it, you know, into one of these novels for some time?
Or what? That's exactly what. You know, yeah. All the travel I've done over the years, I consider that location research. And I literally, every evening, come back to my hotel room and make notes about what I've seen and done and that sort of thing. So I've got another dozen novels I could write.
Yeah.
I've wanted to do a story in Curacao. This one's called Oil and Water. So one of the interesting things about Curacao is it's right off the coast from Venezuela, and there's actually an oil refinery right in the middle of the island because they take a lot of the oil from Venezuela and refine it and then ship it out. So, and that'll tell you one of the dynamics of the story right there.
Okay. Well, yeah, that I can kind of feel something developing as we speak. Knowing how, you know, he takes these novels in the past, there's an environmental undertone to them sometimes, so that would make sense.
And
but Curacao, part of the ABCs, the Antilles, Aruba, Curacao, Bonaire. Right. Is there any mention of Bonaire and
no, this
Aruba,
one's just purely set on Curacao, mostly up on the far end on the island, far away from Willemstad, although there's quite a bit of action that happens in Willemstad as well. Yeah, it's beautiful. If you, I don't know if you've been to Curacao or not.
I have.
Curacao,
long time ago.
Willemstad is a fantastic city that's that colonial Dutch architecture and everything, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
But it has a Caribbean vibe to it.
It has a Caribbean vibe, and then there's like wooden shoes or something. Is that maybe?
There are wooden shoes.
Yeah. I vaguely remember this. In between the Amstel Brights. They have Amstel.
Absolutely.
It's a Dutch Antilles island, correct?
Exactly.
Well, there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, Amstel Bright. I thought that was like a light beer, and then I found out, no, this is brewed with sugar. It's like double the calories. Oh, my God, but it was good.
But it's good. And actually, there's a brief discussion in the story about the little 8-ounce cans.
Because, is it?
You know, okay. That's so hot down there that they always, they give you small cans so that they don't get warm when you're sitting outside.
Ah, fair enough. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. I'm hooked. I'm ready. I got to read this. So it's a novella. So are we talking about 100 pages versus 300 thereabouts, something like that?
That's exactly what it breaks down to.
Okay.
Right at 100 pages.
Yeah. More my speed. I like these quick ones. but that'll be cool. And that is going into pre-release this coming week, starting what, Monday? Is that what it was, or is it out now?
Yeah, exactly. We're doing pre-order on the Kindle version on Monday, Monday the 8th.
Yeah.
And then the actual story will be available. You'll be able to get it or download it or buy the softcover version on Friday the 12th.
Okay.
But here's the catch. If you pre-order it, it's actually going to be less expensive for you than were you to wait till it's available to everybody.
Uh-huh.
So there's another benefit for being a Scuba Radio listener.
Save a few bucks. There you go. So what do you do? Go to booksbyeric.com and pre-order there, or go to Kindle or what, or Amazon? What is it?
The links will be on my website on booksbyeric.com, or you can just go straight to Amazon and say, Oil and Water, Eric Douglas, and that'll pull it up.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you're also running a special this weekend of all the Mike Scott novels? Is that what's going on, or a package of them?
Exactly.
Or something?
Through Sunday evening, I have what's called a box set. So it's actually the first five novels, plus two short stories thrown in there.
Yeah.
And that's on sale through Sunday night. I wanted to, for those of the two listeners out there who haven't read all of the Mike Scott stories, I wanted to give them a chance to get into it at a, even better price.
Yeah.
So through Sunday night, Mike Scott box set is on sale. And then Monday through Wednesday, we're doing the last novel, which is not in the box set. It's called Return to Cayman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on sale Monday through Wednesday during the pre-order, and then Oil and Water goes on sale Friday.
Nice. Okay, so and you don't necessarily have to do them in order. However, I would advise it. It would be good, and you will thoroughly enjoy these books that Eric has written. They're very entertaining, quick reads, but really cool how he incorporates his diving experience. And as a scuba diver, if you're certified and you like doing this thing, you're listening to this show, chances are you're probably digging it. You're going to love these books because it's really going to hit home. And booksbyeric.com, great stuff. All right, what do you say we switch gears and talk about some diving that we're planning to do and maybe some things we've done in the past? You guys up for that?
Sounds good.
Okay, that's coming up next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
And time now for our final 30, an underwater art museum. Divers installing a dozen pictures on an artificial reef 90 feet below the Keys in Florida.
Let's take a dive, torpedo girl.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I'm with Jerry the Diver Guy and Eric Douglas. They're both in Virginia. Well, one's in West, one's in just Virginia. You take your pick which one's which. I don't remember. But it doesn't really matter because we have that common bond of diving. Do we not, guys? Come on.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. That's so, right. You know, we've talked about Eric's latest releases, Oil and Water. You can pick it up, start pre-ordering it this week at booksbyeric.com. But let's talk about some diving. I mean, Eric is also, if you've heard the show over the last few weeks, he's been recovering from five-way bypass surgery. So he's just getting back in the water. And you've already done a dive. Is that the deal? Or you did one this past weekend or week?
Just a couple days ago. Nice. You know, Greg, I learned to dive in the mountains of West Virginia in a lake called Summersville Lake.
Yeah.
And literally people travel from all over the region to come dive in that lake.
Really?
And So I decided to go back. I wanted my first dive back in the water to be back there. And actually, I got to do a couple dives with my dad. So that was really cool.
Oh, that's excellent. So, well, tell me about this dive. I mean, so this was the place you got, like, checked out and the whole thing, or what?
I did my first 60 dives in Somersville Lake before I ever made a dive in the ocean. I'd certainly been to the ocean, but I had never been scuba diving in the ocean. So I did 60 dives in that lake. It's actually where I went through my whole dive master program and everything else. It's a beautiful lake. Depths upwards of 300 feet or so. So there's some guys go up there and do technical training and that sort of stuff. But,
Wow. You
know, for me, especially up there, there's a pretty significant thermocline, about 40 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we stay in the light zone in that upper 30, 35 feet and just to watch the fish. There's actually a small boat up there that was sunk for divers to climb around on and, you know, watch the get to watch the smallmouth bass that the bass that the fishermen wish they could get a hold of. It's fun.
Nice. So, well, Casey was telling me about some tanks they sank off the west coast of Florida. They got anything unique there in this Somerville Lake other than a boat or two, or no?
There's actually a garden of concrete lawn ornaments in one area that you can go dive around. Not quite as big as the art installations that you have
like
down in Florida.
Like mini trolls or something from like Travelocity?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, exactly.
<yeah. laughs> Interesting. I've seen a few of those in quarries and things like that. They get quite creative. Whatever they can do.
They absolutely do.
To entertain the diver. So, I mean, how did you feel after being out of the water for so long? Were you a little apprehensive after the surgery and all that stuff,
you know,
too, or what?
I've been working really, really hard. So, I'll be honest with you, I'm in better shape than I've been in 10, 15 years.
I tell you what, I've seen your pictures on Facebook, and you're looking lean and mean, my friend. Hats off to you.
Yeah, I've been working my tail off.
And but, I mean, you know, in a totally plutonic way, you know, but I'm just saying.
But, you know, I was certainly there was a moment or two of, all right, you know, so here we go. But, you know, I just and it's a shore entry dive where we were. So, I just kind of you just float out in the water. And then when you're ready, let the air out and start swimming. And it was cool. It was exactly what I needed to break that ice.
Yeah. There you go. Nice little introduction.
One of those.
Yeah. Felt
exactly.
Like home.
You know, you don't care if you see anything. You're just blowing bubbles and floating and, back underwater.
Now, what kind of viz do you get at Somerville Lake? Especially this time of year, it's probably the best that it has, I would imagine. Am I right?
Exactly. Yeah. Probably, you know, 20 to 30, actually.
Okay.
It's actually a pretty decent lake, especially up in that light zone. It gets dark and cold pretty quick. But,
yeah. Like how cold?
Up in the 50s.
Oof. So at the surface, though, it's not at the 50s.
Oh, no. In the surface, it's 75 to 80.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost too warm to wear a wetsuit, but you know better than to not.
Yeah. Because you get down there, hit that thermocline, is it like immediate and like, oh, my God!
It's an ice cream headache that feels like it's going to split your head in half.
Yeah. Well, but you were just doing, what, a wetsuit type thing? Three mil?
Yeah, exactly. Just 3 mil wetsuit and just splashing around.
Stay shallow.
And it's actually cool. My birthday was just a week or so ago, and my dad's birthday is actually tomorrow. So this was kind of a birthday dive for both of us as well.
Excellent. All right. So do you have plans to take it to the next level and do some real diving? We were going to try to hook up there in at Bugfest. But, you know, it didn't work out.
It didn't work out, and I was bummed about that. But, I don't have any solid plans yet. But, you know, maybe the good people of Curacao will invite me down for a trip.
A book signing party.
Exactly.
I think they should. You know, or maybe, well, you know, we got Vegas coming up in November. That's too far away. We can do something sooner than that.
Somewhere this fall, we need to go get in some salt water.
Yeah. I mean, I keep flirting with the idea of running over to Lake Mead and doing something around the DEMA show. But, golly, we get all these divers together, and when they're not diving, they have a tendency to drink like fish. And then, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, I don't want to mess with that. You know, I don't want to dive after I'm hanging with these guys.
I have the perfect solution for both of you.
Oh, okay. Jerry the Diver Guy, to the rescue. What is it?
We can both go to North Carolina.
North Carolina. Well, that's
all
where...
Right.
Okay.
You doing Wilmington, or where are you going?
Oh, well, Moorhead. We can do Moorhead. We can do Wilmington.
And either way, it's probably better.
What, do the wrecks and stuff there where they get the sand tigers?
And see the sand tigers.
Oh. Yeah. This is also, isn't this the time of year when sometimes they'll see the great whites, or is that in the winter? Yeah, off the coast.
It can vary. I mean, it's a lot of times it's in September.
Yeah.
You'll see some every now and then coming through, but the vias, you'll have 100-foot vias right now. Mm. So
with the sand tigers, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and it's actually pretty warm because the Gulf Stream comes in this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I thought the sand tigers lived on the wreck, but I was talking to Peter Buzzicott at the Bugfest by the Sea thing last week, and we had him on the show, and he had just done that dive. And I said, oh, you went to do the sand tigers. He goes, well, we did, but they didn't show that day. So, I don't know.
They had another appointment.
Maybe.
They had another wreck to visit.
Exactly. They were on vacation down in South Florida or something that weekend. I don't know. But I thought they were there. I thought they resided there all the time. But evidently, that's not the case, I guess, huh? I mean, have you done that before, both of you guys?
Yes, I've done several different dives or several different locations out of North Carolina and seen sand tigers most of the time. But, yeah, I mean, it's
not guaranteed.
Nothing's guaranteed.
You might can go now and see two or three, and go tomorrow and see 20.
It just depends on the day.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, yeah, I need to mark that one off the list for sure. And
while we're there, we can run over and visit Dan.
The Divers Alert Network. I like that idea. Maybe we can make that happen. That's a good idea. Now I got the Maldives I got to do, then I got a short little break, and then I got to go to Alaska, and then I got some free time. So
September bound, let's go.
September might work. It sounds interesting. All right, let me mull this over. We'll come up with a few more ideas and maybe give you some as well. That's coming up next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Jerry the Diver Guy, Eric Douglas. His book, Oil and Water, going on pre-sale Monday. Booksbyeric.com, the website to go to. Now, I got to go. Before I let you guys go, I got to talk to at least Jerry about Sharknado 4. You saw it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was it as good as Sharknado 3 with me in it? Or did it? What do you think?
You can bet your money that it was not as good as 3.
You didn't like it as good as Sharknado 3.
No. It was all right. So, I mean, but when they turned, certain people into robots and tied in Wizard of Oz and
there were
Star Wars and
Sharks in Space. I mean, it was crazy what they did in this one. And they blew up Vegas Tornado did or what Sharknado did. I don't know what the proper...
Sharknadoed it.
Yeah. It was a little
nutty. They nuke-nadoed Ohio.
So. Yeah. So it's a good thing to watch if you've had, like, too much moonshine. I mean, spring water. And then you're just bored and flipping around the clicker, right? And
you need several quarts.
Yeah.
you keep thinking they're going to go too far with one of those things, but they still...
No.
Yeah. The farther they go, the better it is, actually. It's just so out there, literally. But,
Well, that's what my son said. This is the stupidest movie I ever seen. And I said, that's what makes it so good.
That's right. That's what they're going for, I think. I hope. If they're not,
I hope.
God help us. But, I don't worry about it giving sharks a bad name because it's so absurd. It's, I don't think anybody thinks, makes that connection where it hurts the image of sharks.
Well, you can rest assured they gave them all kinds of names in this one.
What do you mean? Names of what?
Well, the lightning sharks, nuclear sharks.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Fire sharks.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Those man-eating sharks. They covered the bases.
Yeah, good times. All right. Well, we're going to have to, I'll talk to them about Sharknado 5. If they want to kick it up a notch, I'll reprise my role.
We still want you 8.
As a sweaty Florida tourist. You still want me 8?
Oh, we still want you 8.
With friends like these, who needs anemones? Something like that, yeah. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Ladies, never order a lobster on a date. The lobster is the most expensive thing on the menu, okay? So just know that if you order and consume a lobster, you have to touch your date's wiener. It's like a sexual contract from the sea.
They did the lobster dance.
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 They did the lobster, lobster, lobster dance.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We were definitely doing the lobster dance last week from Bugfest by the sea and just having a ball. So, you know, now lobster season, the regular season, is open. Today's the first day. So even though we limited out on the radio last week for mini season, I figured it'd be appropriate to bring on our lobster guru and find out what exactly the lobsters are doing now. So if you want to partake in this activity of lobster hunting in Florida, you can get the lowdown from our guru. And that would be Chiefy. Chiefy, how are you, buddy?
Oh, Greg, how's life treating you? Well?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I got to taste a little bit of lobster meat last week for mini season, and I'm looking forward to getting back down there again and kind of getting my fill again. You hear what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, actually, we had an awesome mini season.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but there were lobster everywhere. And because I had been out scouting Monday and Tuesday, and but we hit it first thing Wednesday morning.
Yeah,
we were in the water at 6:30, and just at the break of dawn, and the lobster were just kind of walking all over the place. It was really a very cool sight. We had them huddled up 5-6 at a time.
Really?
And yeah. It was really nice. And shallow.
Well, see, he's the lobster guru down there in South Florida. He knows that he lives down there and has the opportunity to scope out the sites. I didn't have that option because I was just coming into town. And
yeah,
I also did a late afternoon dive on the first day.
Oh, yeah. It's all over with by the afternoon, buddy.
Yeah, I saw a few antenna and legs hanging around. I'm like, oh, they've already been here. Yeah, Chiefy's been here. And by the way, you can get the lowdown on Chiefy at chiefy.net is his website. You got the second edition of your lobster hunting book
coming out. Yeah, Catching the Bug book is out. We're getting it out to some of the dive stores. Give me a week or so, but it'll be out there, amazon.com.
Yeah.
And or right through my website, chiefy.net. And this is the second edition. I can't believe it.
That's awesome.
We're sold out of the first edition.
Well, good for you. That's good stuff. Now, I got to ask you where you saw them, because the reports I was getting and where we saw them when we went out with South Florida Diving Headquarters was the lobsters were hanging shallow. Actually, shallow, like in 15, 20 feet of water. Is that what you saw too, or what?
Well, the advantage I have is I own a boat, so I'm in that 35 to 40 foot range.
Okay,
that's where we did very well at.
Really?
And,
okay.
And very, very easy. You know, jump in, they were there. I kind of leave that shallow stuff for the guys coming off the beach. I know a lot of them by the sea. They do a big thing with, you know, they're the shore dive capital of Florida.
Yeah,
and so I don't want to be messing with, you know, divers shallow. So I leave that to them, but all of our stuff was 35 or 40, and it was great.
It was
absolutely great. We had some really good spots. They were filled in, like I said, clustered together, and in no time, we were finished. You know,
nice.
The advantage up here, and this is you know, the greater Fort Lauderdale area, Palm Beach, is that we can get double our limit at mini seasons.
Right.
But like you said, that's all over with, buddy. Now it's regular season, you know.
We can only get six a day, but still, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, and you know, we go out pretty regular. I'm out, you know, four or five times a week, particularly if the weather cooperates and if the lobster are there, you know. So we will we'll do okay. Six is – we had an awesome year with just six a day last year. It was awesome. And we almost every day we would go out, we would get our limit. So – That's encouraging.
Well, what kind of tips can you give somebody that wants to come down there and do this? Because what I find when I'm putting on my cape and mask for the lobster slayer persona that I take on when I go after the lobster.
That's good to think like the lobster, Greg. That's the first thing. You got to think like the lobster.
Well, okay. I'm not sure I'm thinking like a lobster. I'm thinking like a crazy person. However, I love going after them. But 90% of it, at least, is finding the little buggers.
Right.
You hear what I'm saying?
Right.
Is there like a particular type of habitat you zone in on? I've heard so many different theories. You know, obviously you're looking for a ledge they could be hiding under or a coral head. But are there any other telltale signs that if you were looking off in the distance, hey, this would be a good spot? What are they?
Absolutely. One of the tips in my book, as a matter of fact, the book is broken down into three main sections. Find the lobster, catch the lobster, and then, of course, everybody wants to eat the lobster.
Yummy.
So I have some recipes, I even how to clean them and all that good stuff. But finding them, here's a little tip that's really, really worthwhile.
Okay.
When you're kind of cruising the reef and you see a lot of activity, such as the small little bait fish, or even big fish will bring you in.
Yeah.
Or lionfish. If you see lionfish, you need to look for lobster. They cohabitate in the same area. And if you're really into it, I mean, listen, if you bring your lionfish tools and take a few of those, they're delicious to eat, and you're doing a great service, to the reef to get rid of those. So they do cohabitate in the same area. You do look for what I call whiter sand along the reef. So you'll kind of see maybe there's something in there. It might be an eel, or it might be a lionfish, or it might be a couple lobster. So those guys will kind of clean out their hole.
Yeah.
You got to remember, they're a nocturnal animal. They're cruising around at night looking for their food. During the daytime, they're hiding. They're definitely hiding.
Yeah.
And the challenge will be, right now they're at 35 to 40. We don't, that was mini season.
Yeah.
We don't know where they are now, So that's kind of word of mouth. A couple of my buddies, south of me will say, oh, man, we've been finding them at 50 feet. We've been finding them at 70 feet. So the contour here in, greater Fort Lauderdale area, it drops off pretty dramatically. So you have a lot of choices here. We start off, obviously, at, the beautiful white sand and everything. But then in a mile, you're in 100 feet of water.
Yeah.
And there's reef out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful location, so close to, to the beach. And you don't have to travel very far. So that's the beauty of where we live. Everything is very, very close.
Yeah, but the deeper you go, the bigger lobsters, maybe?
Not necessarily.
No.
Actually, no. When I know a really good walk is going on,
yeah,
that's a whole nother topic of conversation.
Right.
Is when the big boys are here. When I start to grab some of the big boys and they're clustered together,
mm-hmm.
I know this is going to be a good day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they can, and Greg, they can be in 10, 15 feet of water.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when the walk is on, that typically happens after some tropical activity.
Yeah.
You got to pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of storm.
Then you got to pay off some kind of mole down there to tell you, well, hey, the lobsters are walking. Getting that information out of people down there is tough, though.
I used to have a good relationship with the lifeguards, But
yeah.
Even those guys are not sharing that stuff anymore. I'm going to have to buy them a few more beers.
Right, exactly. You got to pay off the right folks. But yeah, that is definitely a treat if you happen to hit it when they're walking. That is just a magical thing to witness.
It is.
Whether you catch them or not, just to see them bunched up like that.
Yep. Seeing them lined up one behind the other, it's outstanding. So, but again, that happens a couple times a year,
mm-hmm.
and you just got to pay attention. My normal standard depth that I let's say, hey, I don't really know what I'm doing. It's been the first time out here or whatever. I'll be in that 70 to 75 foot range, kind of the eastern side of the third reef and sort of patchy reef.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what I'm looking for. That's sort of a holding area. I won't get big clusters of them there. But a lot of times you'll get one or two or three here and there.
Yeah.
And that always kind of gives you a little bit of clue as to what's going on. But again,
why do you say that? Just from past experience or what?
Yeah, absolutely. Past experience. It's almost a guarantee. You know, at that 75-foot range, you're going to get some lobster out of here. Yeah. All right. So again, now because it's regular season, we are competing with the trap. You know, the traps.
Right.
And down in the Keys, 90% of the lobster are caught down there. I mean, that's the deal.
Yeah.
And so there's about, I think, 7 million pounds harvested a year, which is a fair amount of tails.
Right.
But I think about 20 to 25% is what we do, the recreational diver.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so cool where you are just essentially able to swim off the beach, grab a couple tails, and have them for dinner.
Absolutely. They taste so much better when you catch them and then you get to eat them. I mean, it's an experience and just a process that you got to love as a diver. More with Chiefy next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
How many times have you heard your diver friends say it's been a while since their last dive? Let your buddies know how easy they can get back in the water with the all-new PADI Reactivate program. Reactivate is designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water by refreshing fundamental skills and dive principles. Reactivated divers will receive a PADI replacement certification card, and you get your dive buddy back. Contact your local PADI dive center, resort, or instructor to refresh your scuba skills with PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
It's a secret storehouse of scuba tanks.
Yeah, and all ready to use.
Things are beginning to add up.
I got friends in low.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to friends in low places. I'm going to call him a friend because I'm sucking up to Chiefy right now to find out all the cool lobster spots down in South Florida after limiting out during lobster mini season last week on the radio. I need all the help I can get for the regular season, which has kicked off today. And by the way, you know, Chiefy, all these little tips, you've been doing this lobster hunting down in South Florida how long now, you figure?
30 years.
30 years. Wow.
Yep. Yeah,
so
yeah.
You know what you're talking about. He wrote the book on lobstering, by the way, lobster hunting, and you can check it out, chiefy.net. Order it on Amazon, all that kind of stuff. Second edition just coming available now. But some of these little tidbits that you've shared on the radio, I appreciate very much. But as far as knowing where your actual sites are, that's something you hold close to the vest, that you'll have to get, you know, if someone runs into you down there in South Florida and meets you at a bar, they're going to have to get you good and liquored up before you'll release that info. Am I accurate on that or what?
Well, you know, we're always looking for a tail-for-tail, you know, exchange program.
Uh-huh, but, okay.
Know, Greg, it never works out, though.
That's not necessarily lobster tail, I'm guessing. Am I? Okay.
Yeah. Lobster tail.
Yeah, okay. Just in case. Better half's listening. But, anyway, it's good stuff for sure. And I know you're not only excited about lobster season, which obviously you love doing. You've been doing it for so many years. But you have to be excited about this new Lady Luck wreck that they sank off Pompano. Have you been on it a few times already, or what?
I've not been on it, only because I've been lobstering, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, of course,
yeah. We've been pretty shallow, you know.
Yeah.
But what an impressive wreck, huh? 324 feet long. The beauty of it is you can stay on that wreck for one whole dive. I mean, that's sensational.
Yeah.
I actually chatted with Dennis McDonald the other day. He's the artist that put the casino, art theme on the wreck.
Yeah.
And how cool is that now?
That is something.
Dennis was the artist that did Rapa Nui. That flipped upside down off a Deerfield Pier.
Right.
But this one, the Lady Luck, is off the Pompano Pier. So how lucky are we to have wrecks all over? And that's what's cool about Pompano.
Yeah.
They have a really rich history of wrecks, of sinking them.
Absolutely.
They had the Pompano Fishing Rodeo used to raise money, and I know they donated to the Lady Luck this year as well. But they used to raise money to sink the wrecks during the Pompano Seafood Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be close to 20 wrecks out there in this shipwreck park that they have.
Yeah.
And so creating great habitat for fish and all other kinds of creatures. And so this is just, this one, though, is the biggest in the area.
Yeah, well, it's very unique, and the videos are online now. If you just do a Google search or YouTube search for Lady Luck Pompano Beach, the first videos from the wreck that just got sank, you know, literally the weekend before Bugfest.
Yeah, season.
It looks spectacular. And like I said, the artwork is quite unique. There's an octopus dealing cards. There's all kinds of unique stuff. A mermaid doing, statue and sharks and all kinds of crazy, interesting things to get your underwater.
Yeah,
Underwater photos up a notch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's different, and that's the beauty of this wreck. There's lots to do. It's deeper than I would say you'd want to be an advanced diver for sure.
Right.
I think it rests at 130 feet. The top is 110.
Mm-hmm.
Where the artwork is. So, but that's still diveable for somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
What I have heard is that the currents have been a little strong, but that happens occasionally this time of year. So,
right.
Depending on when it is. But I'm going to tell you, this is a great wreck for this area. Right outside the Hillsborough Inlet, right off of the Pompano Pier, accessible by boat within, 10, 15 minutes out of the inlet.
Nice.
It's awesome. To be able to jump on a wreck this big, this close is, we have a kind of a theme here down in the greater Fort Lauderdale area called Dive It All. And that's the point. We can go from snorkeling and, free diving off the beach,
mm-hmm,
to wreck diving, to diving reefs. We just have a great assortment in this area. So I'm really appreciative of the fact that Pompano, City of Pompano, and the Isles Casino, got together and bought a big ship.
Yeah. No, it's great work. It's a beautiful dive site. I mean, like I said, the videos are online. Check it out already. But you need to plan a trip to come down there and check this out. I'm imagining that the lobsters are going to appreciate that wreck as well.
Yeah. It's funny. I had that question asked to me. don't lobster, like, you know, stay on these wrecks? And the problem is there's so many divers on the wrecks.
Right.
Them poor lobster don't stand a chance.
Yeah, well, true. It's going to be picked over pretty quickly when they zone in on that thing.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure
they'll appreciate it for a short, you know, a short little visit.
But we do see a lot of marine life. I mean, tarpon been showing up, big rays, turtles, of course. You know, this is our turtle season, so we're really seeing a wide variety of marine life down there. And you know, creating these reefs, these artificial reefs, really take the pressure off the natural, you know, reefs.
Absolutely.
So it's awesome that way.
Yeah,
really,
yeah.
It's great.
Well, Chiefy, we appreciate the update on the wreck and, of course, these little nuggets of lobster hunting info. Once again, chiefy.net. Go there. Pick up the second edition of How to Catch a Bug right there.
There you go.
Right there on his website. Good stuff.
And next time you're down this way, bring the butter, okay?
Okay, you got it. I got a permanent tub sitting in my trunk just in case all the time.
There you go.
And that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it's always better down where it's wet. Safe diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.